Taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and I'm riding solo today, but it's all good. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PACTS, Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PACTS, Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the website, learn more about the organization, the codes of conduct, all of the educational materials that they have. Also, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Learn more about myself, Patrick, all of the hosts of our shows. Make sure you check out our newest show, The Enigma Sept Hour, which premieres every Friday at 10:30 p.m. right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com, as well as the Enigma September YouTube channel. So make sure you check those out and all of our shows that we have right here on our network. Now, today we have a good show today. I'm excited about this show. This young lady here, Ben, we went to middle school together and high school together, and was actually able to pay attention through social media, pay attention to her flourish over time. Like, she's really, really, really taking off. She's doing big things in the community. We're really, really, really proud of her. So I give you a little brief introduction about her and then bring her on and kind of get into the interview. So Sherelle Sampson is the founder and CEO of Canvey. Prior to founding Canvey, Sherelle led teams as a director of marketing strategy, developing omni-channel activations for over a decade in the verticals of personal care, grocery retail, customer healthcare, and enterprise software. Sherelle holds an MS in integrated marketing communications from West Virginia University and a BA in marketing from Stetson University. So with that being said, I want everybody to get up off your feet, put your hands together for Miss Sherelle Sampson. Hey, Sherelle.
Hello. How are you today?
We're great. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited about having you on here today because, like I said, you've been doing a lot of great things, and I want to make sure our audience knows about you and have the means to support you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's an honor and a pleasure to be joining you today. So definitely want to thank you for having me.
No problem. I do believe that we should be supporting each other, especially the people who we grew up with, the people who we came up with, who we have been able to watch grow over the years. If we had these platforms, I just believe we should be sharing them with each other. So, you know, you're more than welcome to be a part of this.
Thank you. Pleasure, indeed.
Yes, ma'am. So let's kind of get into it because, you know, we want to learn more about you, how you got to this point, as well as the development of your company and everything. So, I gave a little brief introduction, but can you give our listeners a little more background information about yourself and what was the inspiration that caused you to say, you know what, I want to be an entrepreneur and develop my own thing?
Sure, happy to do so. So as you mentioned, you know, it's definitely been a long journey in terms of, you know, I'm originally from Nassau, Bahamas. A lot of people don't know that. But growing up, it was really tough, and that really gave me the zeal and the drive to really work hard and strive hard. And so, as you mentioned, I was able and fortunate to get a bachelor's in marketing from Stetson University, as well as graduate with a master's in integrated marketing communications. And what that did was truly open up an opportunity to work in corporate marketing. And so it was nice because I had an opportunity to start out in sort of the tourism and hospitality field. So what that meant is that I was actually calculating economic impact study numbers for tourism bureaus, actually for the Tampa International Airport. So when you ever hear number, visitor numbers are down, visitor numbers are up, that was my first gig out of college. And so it was interesting, high pressure, but you could be in a room calculating numbers all day long. And so I knew I wanted to do something different. And so with that, I had the great opportunity to find another position in software marketing, and it was great. I worked with a lot of very intelligent, smart people, but the dream of a lifetime really came when the owner of that software company contacted me within the company and said, hey, you have an opportunity to continue with the marketing efforts for this software company, or you can truly run the marketing side of this personal care company or beauty company I just purchased. And I'm kind of like, well, software, beauty, of course. Like, yes, I want to do that. And so when I say it was an opportunity of a lifetime, it truly was. The company was based in Key West, had been around for about 50 years now. It had over 250 SKUs of products. And so we had to do manufacturing. So I met with vendors in Germany and China and Japan. We had to do the marketing of everything. We had to do the branding of everything. We had to reformulate products. We had to fix retail infrastructure as it related to the systems and it related to merchandising. And all in all, it was chaotic, but I loved it. I absolutely, unequivocally loved it. And in that moment, I said, this is it. So my decision that I had to make within myself in terms of what really inspired me to be an entrepreneur was, do I go work for like an Estee Lauder or L'Oreal, or do I do this by myself? And because I had that wonderful experience, I really had the blueprint of what I needed to do to become that entrepreneur that I envisioned.
Right, right. Yeah, you basically had a chance to learn the business from the ground up, every component of it, took it and ran with it. That's incredible. So I wasn't doing the ask this, like going into college, what made you choose marketing out of all of the other majors? Was marketing something that you were always interested in, or is it something that piqued your interest once you got to college?
A great question. So I always, my mother, my grandmother in the Bahamas, she was a big interior designer, meaning she didn't do it for a job, but everything was immaculate. It was beautiful. Right. And so I was so inspired by that. And I said, you know what? I want to be an interior designer. And so in college, I'm like, hey, this is what I want to do. And then I had an opportunity my freshman year. My English professor said, hey, write a paper on whatever you want to do. And so as I started doing research, it was a lot about angles and colors. I honestly, Joe, I was bored to death. And I said, this is horrible. I don't want to do this. What I always encourage people to do, especially my younger family members, is just kind of stop and look at what things you really, really like to do.
Right.
And what I recognize is that I love projects. I love putting things together. I love strategizing. And so I literally went through every single degree, you know, through the catalog and some college's catalog. And I said, you know what? This marketing thing sounds like me. And once I got into it, I knew this was it. I had one class. It just really changed the trajectory of where I thought I was going. I had a strategic marketing class. And he taught me something, the professor in there, his name was Dr. Barnett, that I'll never forget. He said, when someone gives you something, and they're asking for something, never give them information back that they gave you. So no matter what type of project or what type of scenario that I'm dealing with, whatever information you give me, I'm going to give you something totally different back that you didn't anticipate that's going to really make you go, oh, my goodness. And so that really changed my perspective of what I wanted to do in marketing. And so strategic marketing has really been my path and something that I truly loved.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, especially you having the wherewithal to take that information and run with it on several occasions. See, that's why you are where you are, because you are humble enough to be able to say, you know what, this is going to help me, and you applied it. So that's great.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your business, Canvy. Like, you created, I know you told us that you learned the marketing business and you had an opportunity to create your own, and you created your own. So what is Canvy, and why did you name it Canvy?
Great question. So as a marketer, that was one of the toughest things I ever had to do in my life. And I say that because, you know, as a marketer, you want it to be memorable. You want it to be short. You want it to be different. And so what I did was I went through like 100 to 200 names, and I really came to what are we doing as a company? And so what we're ultimately doing as a company is that we want to celebrate your inner beauty, and we want to enhance your outer beauty. And so the root word really comes from canvas. And our two brand beliefs is exactly what I just said. And so if you see Canvy, it's spelled C-A-N-V-I-I-Y. And the two I's really represent our two brand beliefs, and which is kind of why we have like a little dash underneath, because that's the focus, and that represents the values that we have. And so that was ultimately how I came up with the name. In terms of the brand, as I mentioned, it was something I really knew I wanted to do, and I knew it's what I loved. And the toughest challenge when, for any entrepreneur, is thinking about how you're going to be different, right, and how you're going to be special. And I knew that was going to be my hardest challenge. And so when I decided to go on this journey that I wanted to do this, I looked at different aspects in the industry, the beauty industry, to see what were the toughest, honestly, and what were the most neglected. It just so happened that I had my own experience where, you know, one day I came from the salon and I had this super itchy scalp, and I called my stylist and I'm like, hey, well, what can I do about my itchy scalp? And she literally says to me, Joe, well, you could go and wash it. And we all know, like, if you go get your hair done, there's no way you're just going to wash it, right? Like, you just paid all that money. And so the inspiration was just like, hey, why don't I do something like that? And at first, I really kind of doubted myself. Like, oh, no, that's lame. You know, I don't know if I want to do something for the scalp. But the more and more I started researching it, the more I knew this could be really something unique and different, because not only based on versatile hairstyles, but women that color their hair, women have scalp conditions, and other reasonings, I realized it could be a great opportunity if I could develop something with great performance and validity.
Okay. So I'm asking this question as a person who knows nothing about hair care products, anything of the business or the beauty industry. Did you ultimately find out what caused your scalp itching? And is it a result of like certain things like the styles or the coloring or things like that, that not just you, but different women put into their head?
Great question. So the top two reasons, and this is done through research, what I found through research, the top two reasons why people pertain to get an itchy scalp is two reasons. So one, the number one reason is that the buildup of bacteria around the hair follicle. And so if you think about dandruff, right, just in its normal state, you have dandruff, it grows on the hair. But once it gets to a certain point, right, the growth gets to a certain point, it forms around the hair follicle, and ultimately that develops a bacteria. And then from that, based on the irritation of the bacteria, that's when the itching comes in. And so if you don't wash your hair and it's dirty, or you don't care for it, or you don't oil it, it causes a certain irritation. And then secondly, irritation can be from the lack of hair airflow. So you think about those versatile hairstyles. Our hair wasn't made to have things sit on top of it, whether it's weave or extensions or et cetera. And so the lack of airflow can cause that, right? Cause that to form that irritation, because it is not getting, your pores and your scalp isn't getting the normal airflow as it's supposed to. And then thirdly, using chemicals that may be irritant to your skin, and you're not even aware of it, can cause that irritation. So those are the three main reasons that we discovered in the early days. But ultimately, we knew we could find something to really treat that and deal with those instances.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that information. Because, for one, I didn't know. And two, I'm sure a lot of our other listeners didn't know. But you know, a lot of people put things in their hair now. We have nowadays men and women who put things in their hair, which could potentially be damaging the hair follicles, damaging the scalp, blocking the flow of oxygen and all those things. And I just, you know, a lot of people doing it for the sake of beauty. So thank you for that. So
absolutely.
So earlier you touched on, you had to find a way to brand Canvey and make sure your brand is, you know, standing in your own lane. You're set apart from other brands. So could you explain to us what makes Canvey different from the other beauty brands that are on the market right now?
Great question. So it's interesting. Right now, there's really kind of an evolution of two things going on. One, there's an evolution of sort of black beauty brands, right, or African-American beauty brands, and people right. are more sensitized to, man, I really want to support someone that knows about my hair and my scalp and just kind of where I come from.
Right.
And secondly, you know, honestly, everyone today kind of thinks they can put together a health and beauty brand. Like you see people popping up with lipsticks and body butters, and in which they can. But here's mm-hmm. the difference. So the difference is, for me, is that I am my own customer. And so while others may try to just whip up something to make a dollar, whip up something that smells really great, I focus on innovative performance. And that's really key when you want to be different. That's really key when you want to scale. As I mentioned, anyone can put a lipstick together or a body butter. But
right.
when you want to truly grow something, you start talking to the big boys and to the retailers. They're going to pull out all the body butters and say, okay, here's 15. Now explain to me why it's different. And so
right.
when I have an opportunity to talk to individuals and retailers and companies about why we're different, I really break it down. And so what I learned is that, particularly in, let's say, the beauty space, right, you have tons of scalp oils out there. There's tons of scalp oils, but what they're based in is petroleum or mineral oil. And what that does is it actually clogs the scalp, and it doesn't allow it to breathe. And so while years ago people would just pack on this oil and pack on this grease,
right.
it really
right.
wasn't stopping or alleviating irritation or anything of that nature. It just would clog it. So you wouldn't really get true relief. And so from there, I really took an innovative approach to say, I am my own customer, and I want to develop something that is really key. And so what we did was kind of lay it out on the table. One, we want it to be extremely long-lasting. And I could tell you that our product today is probably the most long-lasting Itch Relief scalp product on the market. And secondly, I want it to be non-greasy. I want it to be non-runny. I want it to have phenomenal ingredients. But most important, I want it to work. And what's so amazing is that, you know, as I mentioned, there's many different scalp oils and products, and people always come back and say, wow, that really worked. And so I believe in not releasing anything or not putting anything into the market unless we believe it's truly our best. And
right.
most importantly, you only have one chance. And you have one chance to either win that customer, either lose them, or win them and get them to tell someone else about it. And so
right.
our key thing that sets us apart is our innovative performance, and you know, there's hours and hours that go into products, and we're not one just to put things out, and you know, that's really been our core competency as a brand.
Right. Now, but you said something important though, and I think a lot of people need to pay attention, because there are a lot of people who are putting out similar products, whether it's for the skin, whether it's for the scalp, face, nail polish, lipsticks, all types of beauty products are being put out all the time. I know I meet a lot of young ladies who are creating body butters and all different things to moisturize the skin, make it soft, that are designed specifically for black women, African-American women. But you understanding that I have to stand out, and then you saying that when you sit in front of the corporations and they pull out 12 to 15 different products that are similar to yours, and you, because if you can't explain that, if you can't really articulate that, they're not going to take you serious. They're not going to work with you. So that was a key point. That was very, very, very important and key, because a lot of people, they have that inclination to say, I want to create this, but you really need to sit down and plan everything out. And then another thing you said is you were your own customer. You were your first customer. So you used it on you. It helped you. So, you know, if it can help you, it can help others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. So, now, with this question, I don't want you to necessarily give away all your ingredients, tell all the things that go into your products, but you do have organic-based products. And can you give us like a little glimpse into some of the things that go into your products and the health benefits that come from using your products?
Mm-hmm. Good question. So with us, and I think a lot of brands are leaning towards this direction, it's no secret that synthetic ingredients, and this is the difference. So you have synthetic ingredients that mimic natural ingredients that are put into products. And right. And what I wanted to do is, one, as a marketer, right, just based on pure research, I know that there's a natural organic trend that's happening. But most importantly, I started thinking for myself, we want to differentiate ourselves. And so when we say organic or organic based, that basically means that some of the products that we have, you have a water based, and then you have a synthetic that gives it, 75% of its strength or its concentration. And so when we say organic based, that means for our first product that we launched called Scalp Bliss, 75% of it was organic aloe vera, right? And so that's okay. Really different than what's currently on the marketplace. And so we have other phenomenal ingredients in our Scalp Bliss treatment from Nuka Honey sourced all the way from New Zealand. We have lavender, we have jojoba, all these great things. And so it was really important that not only do we have great performance, because synthetic ingredients can give you great performance as well, but we have healthy ingredients that supports really hair growth and great performance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you say, it's a whole revolution now that mm-hmm. With these products and things. And I'm happy that you and other Black women are at the head of this revolution and can break down what your product is and why it helps people and all the benefits of it, rather than just saying, well, I have this product. So I'm extremely happy about it.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to share with that is, through my research, it was really mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. So I looked at competitors in the scalp care space, and it's a ingredient called triclosan. And triclosan is a preservative. What basically it means is it's a preservative that doesn't allow mold to grow in your product, right? Everybody should have a preservative of some kind. It could be either synthetic or it could be natural or organic. But with this, it was a scalp. They're still on the market. The scalp product, widely used by African Americans, et cetera, that has a preservative, or had, I should say, a preservative called triclosan. The FDA just ruled it on the ban list is because for years and years they've figured out that it was a carcinogen, which means it's cancerous, and it actually impacted fertility in women. And so if you have something that you're putting directly on your scalp and it's going into your bloodstream, and there's so many reasons why a lot of things are happening to our bodies, the reason I'm saying this is because now people are being responsible for what they're putting in their products.
Right.
So the whole trend of organic and natural, yes, that's happening, but the FDA is holding other companies accountable for what things they're putting in, and 10 years ago that didn't exist. And so I just think it's a responsibility for me and my customers that whatever they put on their scalp should be healthy and shouldn't be damaging to them. It shouldn't be a compromise.
Right, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Now,
it's scary.
But research. We've had a number of women to come on and talk about their lane within the beauty industry, and one of the consistent things that have been said is research. So doing your research, learning what you're putting into your body, because mm-hmm. that matters. That the outcome matters. Like, oh, my mom always asked me, well, what's the side effects? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely.
All right. So you talked about it earlier, but you have a number of successful partnerships with well-known companies, and that's amazing. But you are a marketing genius as well.
Oh, stop.
Well, you learned the business from the ground up. And, you know, and I'm not just trying to blow smoke up, you know, but if we're going to call some of these music producers geniuses for being great at what they do and learning the game from the ground up, we need to be able to show that same thing to you. So, you know, you've paved the way. No, no problem. But how were you able to forge these partnerships with these companies, and not just forge them, but maintain these partnerships with these companies?
Sure. Good question. I think, so just a little bit, just a little background for your listeners. So Canvy is a fast-growing, organic-based health and beauty brand. And we launched our revolutionary product, which is a itch-calming scalp serum. It relieves scalp irritation for a long-lasting time. And what I mean by that is, so on average, you may have a scalp oil. It may last 10 minutes. It may last 30 minutes. Ours is different, is that we stop scalp irritation or itchiness on average 3 to 4 days. Depending on your scalp hygiene, it can last up to 7 days. And so in saying that, again, focusing on being different, right, in the marketplace, when we had these conversations with our partners, and so I'll mention them since you did, so we have partnerships with Moffitt Cancer Center that's based in Tampa, but they're domestically known. They're actually in the top 1% of cancer hospitals in the United States. We have another partnership with University of South Florida Health. We also have partnerships with Tampa International Airport. And so, again, the way that you build these partnerships, if that's what you want to do, is you have to truly be of value to them. And so a perfect example was when I met with Moffitt Cancer Center. We talked about what they currently give their patients today. And what they currently give their patients is they give them a steroid cream when they are dealing with scalp irritation and soreness. And so what's interesting and what a lot of people don't know is that when an individual loses their hair from cancer, right, or from treatment, their hair, you know, most times starts to grow back in some cases. And they go through this really, really, really rigorous time of trying to deal with that. And so in that process, when that person or that patient is trying to figure out, how do I relieve my dry, itchy scalp? One, it's sore, so you have to be really sensitive. And secondly, you also have to make sure that it doesn't harm them. And so they would give them steroid creams that wasn't necessarily great for them, and the patients would actually request, like, do you have anything better? And so across the board, not just with the scalp creams, but across the board for all products, you have patients that are really cognizant of what they put in their body. And so Moffitt, as an organization, was like, hey, we're aware of your product. We don't have anything like it. And so your product brings value to our organization, and most importantly, to the betterment of our patients. And so that was really the genesis of how that partnership came about. And, you know, what they really liked is that we talk about African Americans and developing things for them, but this was something that worked across their entire patient body. And that was really important, and that is really important. And so because of that, they noticed the performance, they noticed how well the patients loved it, and the nurses would actually recommend it. They decided they wanted to have a partnership with us. And that was a really big milestone, because when you come out as a new brand and you're coming out and you're trying to tell the world this is one of the best products you could try or you could have, you know, nothing comes better than having a big organization, a prestigious organization as such, really giving you the thumbs up and giving you the value that you know the company is worth in terms of delivering quality, great products. And they really gave us the badge of honor and gave us that validity that we needed. And from there, other organizations were more open to speak with us and really hear us out and hear how we were different and ultimately partner with us.
That's great. Because, like I said, it's amazing to witness or to even hear you talk about how you had an idea, and that it grew from an idea to a company, a tangible brand, and then other people saw the value in what you put forth, and was like, hey, I want to work with you. I want to partner with you. I think your product can be beneficial to what I do. So that is amazing. Like, I know, like, so when they reached out to you, like, what was your state of excitement? How did you react?
Well, we had actually been in contact with a doctor there, and, you know, we had met, and she said, you know what, and something that really sticks with me today, she said, hey, you know, as a doctor, as a physician, we know our diseases, we know our viruses, we don't know our products. And mm-hmm. that right there really changed the trajectory of the business. And it really showed me that, hey, I'm in this beauty space, but there's a huge need in the healthcare space. And so I sort of pivot the business a little bit to say, hey, if she's telling me this and she's one of the head, you know, physicians at this organization, there must be a broader need out there. And so it took some time. Of course, they have to vet you. Large organizations are normally slow just getting back. They wanted to test it out. And so I was probably working on that for a good year. So it wasn't overnight by oh, any right. means. But through the many conversations and through the different tests and trials that they were, I shouldn't say trials, we didn't do clinical trials, through the patients trying the product, it turned out to be a success, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So you've had a good number of success. You had a lot of success. So as far as challenges, what has been your greatest challenge as an entrepreneur, and how were you able to overcome your challenge to remain or to become as successful as you are today?
Well, I think the greatest challenge that any entrepreneur has is getting people to believe in the vision and be surprised once they see the outcome of it. And here's what I say. One of the greatest things, especially in the early days, so we're approaching 3 years in the business. We have customers domestically in all 50 states as well as internationally in about 8 countries. And we're in about 70 stores, including Target stores, which is really exciting. They just reordered and they bumped us up an extra 5 stores, so we're now in 50 Target locations across the United States. But in the early days, it was I really got excited that people would listen or that they would try. Right. And so I think the hardest challenge is making sure that you understand what your value propositions are and showcasing those the best that you can. Because once, if you truly have a great product and if you truly have and or service, once they try it, you have them. And so I think that was the biggest hurdle was getting people to respect what you're saying, right? Understand that you bring value, understand that you have a great product, and then ultimately influencing or persuading that trial. That's the biggest challenge of any business. And so has it been tough doing this 100% by myself in terms of I have a couple team members, but not having funding, that's always a challenge. But right. I'm a huge believer in God that, listen, you're going to bring me this far to let me go now, so we'll figure exactly. it out. But at the end of the day, there's been a lot of benefit in that. And there's been a lot of benefit in having a really slow and steady growth. And here's what I mean by that. When you have a precipitous journey, meaning it comes at a pace and it's not all of a sudden, is that you start to learn, and here's the benefit. I started to learn who my customers were. So even though we're a Florida-based company, my top customers or can be top customers are based in New York. They're based right. in Maryland. They're based in Los Angeles. They're based in Chicago. D.C. is a great area for us. And so Atlanta as well. And so one of a fellow entrepreneur went to lunch one day, and she was like, hey, do you get upset that like your friends and your family don't support you as much as you want? And I say, honestly, I don't, because right. I listen to my data. And my data has taught me where my top customers are. So, for example, right. our scalp list full size retails at $20. In New York, that's nothing when they're one of $10,000. In L.A., you know what I mean? When their mortgage is $5 million. That
exactly.
$20 isn't a lot of money for a great premium quality product. And so you just have to listen to your data and go where your data is. And so that was the blessing. That was the challenge, is like going really slow and getting people to believe in the vision and the idea. But then secondly, understanding at the core, who are your real customers? Like, I had this notion that my customer was going to be this young college girl that, is in school and she loves to get her hair done. And I was so wrong. My core customer is between the ages of 25 and 45, right? And
right.
These are the women that are professional women. These are the women that are willing to spend an extra dollar, right, to make sure they have quality ingredients. These are the women that are traveling on a daily basis. These are the women that are actively going and getting their hair done or making sure their beauty routine is up to par. And so if you take your time and be patient, the business will start to give you insights that you would never know if you went from 1 to 1,000 in 2 days, right? And so
right.
I have a good understanding, especially when you go talk to these retailers, right? And they start asking, like, who is your customer? I could tell them. I could tell them our top customer bases, our DMAs. I can tell them the age breakdown. I could tell them the psychographics of our customers. I could tell them their behaviors. I could tell them what are their likes, some of their dislikes. And when you become intelligent about your business enough, the challenges that you once had in the beginning will kind of subside, and you'll be able to focus on some of those bigger issues, such as production.
Right. But you know, you dropping gems all throughout this interview, because one thing you were getting at is, why focus on those who don't support you when you can go look at the data and see who do support you and focus on that and then be able to
Absolutely.
Grow from there? Because mm-hmm. most people, they get upset and get stuck that my friends and my family don't support me. I know for myself, I had to get over that a long time ago. And,
mm-hmm.
but like you said, once I started looking at the numbers,
yes.
I started to see support is there. So those people may not be supporting me, but there's a whole bunch of other people who are supporting me. So I appreciate that.
Sure thing.
So I do want to ask this. What advice would you give to entrepreneurs, to new entrepreneurs who are starting in the beauty industry? What advice would you give them to help them become successful and kind of be able to forge their own path?
In the beauty space, I think it's important to be knowledgeable about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, you can develop a product in your kitchen. What you can't do is you can't foresee how you're supposed to negotiate when you're with contract manufacturers, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're
right.
with co-packers, and knowing what's important, right? So doing your research when you get ready to do mass production is totally different than you just doing it in your house. And so one of the big things that one should know is you should make sure you own your own formulas. And so this is the big thing that, you know, co-packers don't tell you. You may want to partner with them, but they don't tell you, like, hey, if we tweak your formula, guess what? It's now ours. And so before
right.
working
right.
with them, you need to discuss that and make sure you have that in paper, because if someone wants to acquire you one day and they say, okay, well, we're here to acquire you and we want to know what's your value, and you say, well, my value are my formulas, and then you find out ultimately you don't own it, then, hey, oh my goodness, you've just, at the end of the day, lost all your value. And so
right.
it's a lot of different components to the beauty space, and I say that because you have, online marketing that is key, right? So you must have a strong website presence. And then you have all these different channels. So whether you can go via Amazon or you can go via eBay, you can go via Jet.com. And then you have the retail side of the business that you must know and that you must understand, and you have to know what your margins are and your numbers. And so there's so, and then you have the production side of it, where you have to understand what are sort of the cost for your bottles, for your caps, and making sure that you're hitting the margins that you need to succeed and survive in that business. And so there's just so many intricacies of what you need to know, one, to have a successful business. And so I would definitely recommend that you research, that you reach out to others in the space to give you advice, and that you're eager to learn. Because if you think you're just going to whip it up and it be some, you know, top of the line stuff, like, you're dreaming. It's right. Tough and it's competitive, and it's important that you have to put money into it, and to be successful, right, you have to be knowledgeable or you'll be taken advantage of.
Yes. Learn as much as you can. And I stress that for people. Learn as much as you can. Inform yourself.
Absolutely.
And make sure you still are taking action and not just collecting information, but taking action as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So beauty. We talk about beauty a lot in our communities and our societies. Beauty is big. You hear somebody tell somebody, you too pretty to be doing things as if, like, there's a certain way you're supposed to look that's supposed to dictate your actions and things. But beauty is everywhere, and everybody has their own standards of beauty and all these things, which could cause some people to have low self-esteem, all these different issues with certain people. But I think people should be able to define beauty for themselves. So for you, what is your definition of beauty? And also, in learning what your definition of beauty was, how did you learn to love yourself within this society with all these negative influences?
It's interesting. For me, I come from a relatively large family. I have about 6 aunts, on my mother's side, about 5 uncles, something like that. She's like 1 of 12. And so I've always been surrounded by women that exude confidence and love their selves. And so for me, it was a matter of having a beautiful heart. I think I've been in situations and places where you may say, man, did I handle that in the best way that gave me a positive light, right? Because in some instances, you have to be tough. Like, you can't always be the pretty young thing on the side. You have to handle things with rigor that sometimes isn't pretty, right? And so there's a double standard for men and women as pertains to that. But I think as it relates to beauty, for me, it's always about what is that inner beauty? And then that kind of spills out. People can feel that. People can sense that. People know if your heart and your soul and your spirit is beautiful. And so for me, it's not really a definition externally. It's about that feeling that you get when you meet somebody and you're like, you know what, they have a beautiful spirit. And that's what is important for me. And so in terms of the negativity, honestly, I'm a huge believer in God. I've been through a lot in which I really try not to focus on negative things. I try to focus on the positive because your life is so short. And so I just believe you're beautiful on the inside. That will definitely help people to see you in a beautiful light externally.
Right. Yeah, I do. I do as well. This, you know, like you said, it's a lot of negativity, but you have to be able to put yourself in the space to focus on the good that's around you, the good that you're doing, and all those things so you can move forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now, I did want to add this, just one quick question before we get to our final question. It's about marketing. Because there are a lot of people who may not understand the power of marketing, and some people who do understand it but are going out doing things that may or may not help their business via marketing. So what are, from your vantage point, what are some of the common marketing mistakes that entrepreneurs or brands may make when trying to market their product?
In terms of mistakes, I think just not understanding what it all entails. And I say that is because there's really 4 key elements of marketing. So one, it's the branding of whatever service or product it is, right? So when someone sees it, they're either going to say, I like it, I don't like it, this is interesting, or completely turned off. So the branding visual element is a part of that marketing puzzle. And then secondly, you can have the most beautiful website or product, but if no one knows about it, if there's no awareness of it, then what good is it? And so that second element would be awareness. After you've built something beautiful, you have to make people aware of it. And so, and again, that mistake is that, okay, once we build it and once we make people aware, that they're going to buy, and that's not true either. So once they come there, that second portion is really going to get them to drive trial. How do you get them to try it? How do you get them to be interested? How do you get them to inquire it? And that comes through value, right? Having that value, communicating that value of why you're different and why you're special and why they really want to try whatever you're selling. And lastly, it's really developing that relationship. So after they have inquired or they've purchased, being sure that you drive that customer service that is ultimately going to build a long-lasting relationship with that client or that customer. And so all of those four things as it relates to branding, as it relates to brand awareness, as it relates to driving trial, and then ultimately trying to sustain a customer or client relationship, those are the aspects of marketing that's important. So if you think you're just going to put a product out there and make it aware and don't have those other elements, that's where people fail. That's where entrepreneurs fail. And so having a real cohesive thought process behind what is your marketing plan and what's your marketing schema ultimately is what's going to drive success.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Y'all better be taking notes. So, our final question, and this is our famous question. We like to ask everybody this question. This is usually a Patrick question, but I'm going to take it and I'm going to do it justice. So, if you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America, you had that unlimited power, what would you change and what would your message to the people be?
That's a tough one. As I mentioned, I'm a Bahamian, so I'm from the Bahamas. But it's interesting. I have this weird dream that one day I'm going to be the prime minister of the Bahamas, which is the president of the country, right? And so one of the things that I always say, if I ever had the opportunity, and this isn't pertaining to Black America, but more importantly to the Bahamas, is that
right. You
have to have leaders that aren't moved, that aren't persuaded, that aren't influenced by monetary gain.
Right.
And I think that's applicable across the board. I think if you can look at problems and you can look at solutions and not move based on what you think you're going to gain, that's when you could truly make change, in my opinion. And so I think across the board, that would be key to work off of things that you know are right versus things that influence money. But we all know money makes the world go round, so it's easier said than done. But I would definitely focus on driving solutions as opposed to being persuaded or influenced by monetary gain.
Right. Now, I appreciate that. See, now we're going to have to expand our question from just Black America to Black diaspora. So, yeah, that's good. That's good.
But not the world. How about that?
Exactly. But that I love when we interview guests who have that confidence, because you are one of the many women we've interviewed who really exuded that confidence. And I appreciate it, because I grew up around it. I grew up with women who were sure of themselves. And even if they wouldn't, they did a good job of pretending to be like that around me. And nowadays, when I go out and I see some of these other women and these younger women, these younger girls who are struggling to find themselves, I try to remind them that there are women like you out here who may have been in that same situation, but there are women who truly do love themselves and truly do understand their value. So that's another reason why I wanted you to come on and be able to speak, so people can hear that coming from you, but also catch some of those gems that you're dropping, because you really understand your business and what you're doing. And my hat definitely goes off to you.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. You're doing great work, and I'm watching the things that you're doing, and I'm equally impressed by what you're doing in the community. So keep it up for sure.
I appreciate it. Before we let you go, could you give the people your website, social media, and things, the best ways to contact you?
So the name of the company is called Canvy, and it's spelled C as in cat, A N-B as in Victor, I-I, it's two I's, Y.com, canby.com. And so we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. We also have a YouTube page, so be sure to subscribe, to like our pages. Again, it's canby.com. If you're in any of the 50 store locations for Target, you can see our product on the shelves. It's called Scalpless, our Scalpless Serum. So definitely check us out, try it, and I would love to hear the feedback from each and every one of you. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time, your information, the confidence, everything that you've done here on this interview, and everything that you do on a regular basis. You are out here helping to make the world a better place, and you found a way to do something that you love, and it's really not just helping you, but it's helping others. So thank you, and once again, thank you for being here on the Freedom Train with me.
Appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Yes, y'all. Ms. Sherelle Sampson, the founder and CEO of Canby. Remember, go check out canby.com, canby.com. She's an amazing person. She's been putting it down, doing her thing. You heard her story. You heard her give her testimony. You heard her talk about how she does it. And she went to Ricketts High School, coming straight from the Bahamas, doing her thing. Hey, man, I am Joseph Ward. This is the Freedom Train Podcast Series. Hey, Patrick, make sure we're looking out for Patrick and everybody else that's on the East Coast, that Carolina coast. Patrick caught up in Hurricane Florence right now, so we're sending mad love and mad positive vibes out to Patrick and everybody and his whole family, everybody that's out on that East Coast in the Carolinas who've been affected by Hurricane Florence at this moment. So this show and everything that we're doing dedicated to them. But, hey, man, Joseph Ward, Freedom Train Podcast.